Okay, good morning. I have been preemptive. We're going to have a little special before. And so if everybody will get settled in here. All right. Now, Beth, if you can bring Abe, put him up in here, that'd be really nice. And, is that what? Oh, well, that's kind of sturdy. No, maybe then. Forget it. No, that only worked with. Okay. So this morning we're going to have a wonderful little presentation that we do every year, and look forward to it. Are we about ready? We're not about ready? 10:45. Okay. Okay, let's see. Cooper, can you come on up here a minute? I mean, do you have to be back there waiting for him? All right. Let's stand and sing Joy to the World. Joy to the World.
Somewhere in the
80s. I'm getting there. '88.
Not that one. First one.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her clean. Let every heart prepare
Before we begin with them, you can be seated. Let's begin the whole morning with a word of prayer, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Him and pleasing to Jesus Christ. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time of the year. We celebrate Your grace, Your mercy, Your compassion in sending us Your Son. And we pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You. Father, we thank You for this assembly. We can enjoy each other, enjoy this presentation, enjoy Your Word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. I turn it over to Larry. Lori. Wait one moment before I turn it over.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Did anyone talk about yesterday what we did?
No, we haven't really shared.
Okay, so Herman, can we take a minute to talk about we went to the apartments yesterday with the kids? Okay.
This is yours.
So, 'tis the season of sharing Jesus Christ, and yesterday we took, I think we probably had 18 or 20 Liberty Youth Group kids.
And there were about 23 to 25 apartment children.
Apartment children, and so we went, and Pat went with us yesterday, and It was just a very blessed time, as it always is at the Garden Gate Apartments in Plano. These kids came out and we played games, we did music, we shared the gospel. We did like what we're doing this morning, but what we did is we had Mackenzie, Flannery, and Ben read the scripture of the Bible, the Christmas story, and we dressed up the kids from the apartment. So they were the angels, and they were Joseph and Mary. And
so cool.
It was. And at first, they were no. But then they started seeing their friends put on the shepherd and the angel, and okay, I want to do that. We probably had almost all the kids up there by the end.
Yeah.
So we had some of them were stars, you know, holding the star. Some of them had just had on pipe cleaner halos, and
what did the kids?
He
taped it all on his phone.
He taped it all on his phone.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we had two girls that came to camp with us last summer, Casey and Teresa, whose aunt brought them to come, and they actually helped. So they participated, but they also helped. So
and they don't even live in the apartment complex anymore. So they came over to be a part of it with us.
But we met them from the VBSs in the past, and they've come to camp. And anyway, we've just seen that how God is really using the kids that are there and our kids, and it's just humbling to be a part of it. And just
one of them,
a blessing.
As we were leaving, told Mackenzie, okay, I'll see you back here at Easter and Hedgehog Day, or whatever that day is. You're coming back.
Very awesome.
So it was very, very cool, and we have seen some of these kids since they were five, six of them are continuing to come back. The apartment complex just eats us up, just wants us to do as much as we possibly can there. There is a great need. We decided at the last minute to not just give them popcorn because some of them, this is their only meal. I mean, when school stops, we all think, yay, we're out of school. They think, where am I going to eat breakfast? So this food was very valuable to them. And so we gave them peanut butter jelly sandwiches and cheese sticks and cupcakes and drinks. And they were just eating it as fast as we could put it out. So it was really cool to also not just feed their souls but to feed them physically as well. And they all stuck around, too. I mean, they could have just got that sandwich and left. And Brian...
Okay, it's good.
I had met with the apartment manager and realized this food need, I called Lori immediately and said, let's change what we're giving them. And then Brian came over in the morning and brought over the balloons for us to hang up and handed me a stack of Jack in the Box gift cards. And so every kid walked out with a $5 Jack in the Box gift cards. Well, Jack in the Box is like, they walk there every day just to hang out at, 7-Eleven or whatever. And so they all left with, dinner. So it was really cool. Everybody got a gift. After we showed them all the gifts that God gave us from the Holy Spirit, they all walked out with a gift, too.
Randy, you have enough to set those for all of us?
They need them all up. They're all up. Not the healthiest meal, Jack in the Box.
It was awesome. And we'll do it again at Easter, and we'll do it again at Christmas. So you guys, if anybody wants to come out and be a part...
Hedgehog Day.
There's no qualifications to come, seriously. We've learned that. Just be available and be there for those kids. And like we tell our kids, go make a friend today. Just stick with them. Build that relationship. Share Jesus with them. That's why we're there. So it was great. So this morning we're going to do our performance. I think what I love most about our performance is just like Jesus' beginning was very humble. Our little performance is very humble, and it's, we just pray it's a sweet aroma to Jesus, to God, and that it's to His glory. Nick is out sick today. Morgan is sick today, right? Yeah. So,
have no
fear. Satan's attacking. People are sick, but with our mighty few, as we talk about, we sing, "Oh, come all ye faithful," and that's what it's about. So come, O faithful. So I'm going to turn it over to the kids. Please encourage them with your smiles, and we'll do lots of clapping, and it'll be awesome. So. Come on up.
You guys come. Yes.
All right. Yay!
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you."
Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin."
The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder brings a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, for
time the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for him.
That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Thank you.
Born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that same time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?"
"In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, and who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too.'"
After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
"So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son."
Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost."
John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life."
Thank you. Sweet silver bells, all tuned to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing the cheer. Ding and the bell, ding dong ding dong, that is their song. With joyful ring, all can relieve. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they crowd, red in the snow, glad and nail, tied in the shell. Carrying the ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On they send, on with our end. There shall we go, sing every drum. On how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw kiss away. Christmas is here, carrying the cheer. Cheer young and old, meek and the poor. Ding dong ding dong, that is the song. With joyful ring, all can relieve. One seems to hear words of good cheer from every everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they found, raising the sound, glad and yell, tied in the chair. Carols ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On they send, on without end, their joyful song to every home. On they send, on without end, their joyful song to every home.
I want to thank everyone, part of that. That was very wonderful and appreciate it so very much. I can say one thing about the wise men. I want to go to Burger King as soon as we get out of here. Oh. Have it your way. And so, okay, let's briefly go through some of the announcements and for prayer, and just to bring to memory some things. First of all, please continue to be in prayer for Thomas. And he says, yes. Good. Wow, fantastic. People, this is an answer to prayer. I mean, those of you that went up to the hospital and we prayed while Thomas was in intensive care and ICU, and here he is and doing as well as he's doing in college, and Eagle Scouts, and just so many wonderful things. It's just glorifying to our God. And we just need to continue to be in prayer for Thomas and in praise of God. And they're traveling today, this weekend. Okay. Let's be in prayer as they travel. And let's see. Please continue to be in prayer for Judah's brother, Ronnie. He is doing so well, like Thomas. He's his company's letting him come back to work in his home. His wife's work said she could come back. They didn't have to do that. They're not like Christian family. They're just a business. And both of them told them to come back and continue with their insurances, and that is just a really answer to prayer. And so I'm very thankful for that with regard to Ronnie. And let's see, any other prayer requests that I need to be aware of? Yes. Yes. That's right, yeah. Good. Yeah. Yep. That's you know, to we can keep them alive longer, but not necessarily the quality of life. And when, as people get older, they keep their mind and all, it is just so much better. My mother was 93 when she died, and the week before she died, she was sharp. She knew none of us had come by that weekend, and she would let us know she was upset about it. And she was had all of her facilities, and that does make a big difference. Does make a big difference. So just continue to be in prayer for her family at this time. Not March and April, so let's sign up. Okay, any other thing? Yes.
My sister still needs prayers. Her heart rate seems to jump up after her surgery with a heart valve replacement. Heart rate goes up, and this past week she's had a high temperature, anywhere from 101 to 103.
Who?
Just need some prayers for that.
Is Mama back home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, people, please be in prayer for Molly. My goodness. And what specifically would be the prayer, Kit? Health?
Well, health, and also that the Holy Spirit will make the gospel real to her.
Good. Okay. That's the most important. Yeah. Very good. Any other prayer? Yes. Okay. Continue to be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Okay. I hate to bring it up one more time. I guess the best way to talk about the financial state of our assembly is you get to vote whether or not we continue as an assembly, and your voting is by your offering. And I said that And John and I were just talking, John Henson and I were talking, and I say this with all humbleness and truthfulness. If it's, you want the assembly, but you want somebody else. Yeah, I was telling John, I was going to say, you vote whether or not you want the assembly. And, well, what if they want the assembly and not you? I said, well, okay, that's a reality. And, if that's the case, then let me know. But, we're at a crucial level. And, did Jim Passmore give you the balance sheet? Okay, he hasn't, but he will. He's got so much going on right now. He's in Houston this weekend. He was in California last weekend. So, just to let you be known of that. And with that in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for the wonderful opportunities you have given us over the years, the internet, the missionaries, and the young people. And our own assembly right here, Heavenly Father, where we get to come and study your word. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're giving and that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, through the dissemination of his word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Mr. West Tuttle. All right, first of all, does everyone have a hand? Does anyone not have the handout, Three Wise Men? Does anyone not have it? Okay. Gigi, can you get one for over here, please? And one over here. And we got one right here. There you go. So does everyone have a... okay. Before we start the prayer for our study... If you have a pen and you're a note taker, scratch right through 3. That is not in the Bible. There is no record there were 3. That has been assumed since I was born, when I was 72 years ago, and but we assume that because of the 3 gifts, and therefore people assume there were 3 of the wise men. But there probably were a great many more, and they had an entourage and all these type of things for traveling so far. So just mark out 3 and put a question mark and say, you know, God, and we'll go on from there. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer as we approach. Yes?
So which one of the 3?
Well, see... That's another myth. It's 3 wise men, not 3 kings. We 3 kings of Orionia. It's 3 wise men. And actually 3 magi, but we'll come to that in a few moments. But okay, let's begin with the word of prayer so we can start our study this morning. Let's pray. Father, the wise person is the wise person who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And wise people today are still believing in Jesus Christ. It's the foolish who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will be with us as we go through this study. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, it's going to be a 2-part study. On the wise men, and next week the star. I want to study some things about that star. Sometimes it was there, sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes only they could see it. and sometimes even they couldn't see it. So we're going to take a look at the star next Sunday morning. But right now, let's get introduced to it. The wise men in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after, so this is after, and you're going to note about how long after. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Now there's so much going on here. We have, for example, directions. We have Bethlehem, Judea, east, Jerusalem. And then we have Herod, we have the Magi, and Jesus. So there's just so much going on in verse 1 that we're not going to spend the time in verse 1 that it should be, because we should study each of those categories and note them all. But I just wanted you to feel the drama in verse 1 of Matthew 2. Now verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And we're going to concentrate on two aspects this week and next week. Who are the Magi? What is the star? Where does it come from? And we're going to cover as much as we can know about that star. So verse 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem is a compound word. Beth is the Greek word for house. Hem is the word for bread. The word Bethlehem means the house of bread, referring to the fact that Jesus Christ is the bread out of heaven for our salvation. Bethlehem of Judea. Now this is stated to distinguish it from another Bethlehem in the north, in the tribe of Zebulun, recorded there in Joshua. It was prophesied that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 42. Has not the scripture said that Christ, that's the anointed one, the Messiah, comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was from? So the geographical areas here are very important in this spiritual warfare. I've been doing Christmas specials now for 40 years, 41 actually, and each time I try to pick a little different view or different passage of Scripture and all, and we've studied several things about the three places where he's from in Scripture. He is from Bethlehem. He is from Egypt. He is from Nazareth. So what's going on? Well, each one of those is important to understanding Jesus Christ. Now, where in Scripture is, because in John 7:42, the Scripture says, where in Scripture? Book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one, Jesus Christ, will go forth out from heaven to earth for me, God the Father, to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So God the Father decreed in eternity past that Jesus would come from the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe, and specifically from Bethlehem. Now, on Wednesday night we're studying that he is going to become the high priest, but it will not be through the Aaronic or Aaron priesthood. It will be a priesthood superior to the Levitical priesthood. It will be a priesthood under the order of Melchizedek, because in Israel's tradition, the Jews, he could not be king priest. He could be king because he's from the tribe of Judah, but he could not be priest because he is not from the tribe of Levi. So what God is going to do on Wednesday night, we're seeing how he made him a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who is superior to the order of the Aaronic priesthood. So Israel knew, now here's the important part here, Israel knew that the Messiah would come from the family of David, and they knew that he would be born in Bethlehem, or they should have. Next week we're going to title the message, The Wise Men put Israel to shame. They will know what Israel should have known, but didn't. But we'll save that for next week. Now, it is so interesting. All the things God does in history to bring about His prophecies. We spent time, you recall, our first study in Daniel. If you recall, some of you may have thought it was rather boring, but it was just dates. James, we handed out a sheet of just all that God had to do to get Daniel, born in Judah, up here to Babylon, and under captivity. And he had to do a whole lot of things to do this. Well, God has to do a whole lot of things to get Jesus born in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary, they didn't live in Bethlehem. They lived far north of Bethlehem, and they are in Galilee. And so God had to get Joseph and Mary from Galilee, Nazareth of Galilee, up to down to Bethlehem. So he did this through the Gentiles. It's amazing how God uses the Gentiles, used them to get Daniel to Bethlehem, or to Babylon. And now he's going to use Gentiles, Rome, to get Joseph and Mary all the way over to Bethlehem at this precise time when Jesus was going to be born. So God just worked all these wonderful things out. Not in hyper-Calvinism, putting chips in everyone, but in using man's own volition, man's own lust, man's own desires, man's own fears. And God uses them to bring about His plan. So verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. It is no accident that Herod is king. God will use his arrogance to bring about his plan. Magi from the east arrive in Jerusalem. And now, who are the Magi? Why are they in Jerusalem? The Greek word magos in Acts 13, the only other context in the New Testament, this word is used and in Acts in a bad connotation. We will not spend a great deal of time dealing with all of that in those arguments. The scripture here clearly says that these were from the east. Now, every great nation, I got to share one thing with you on the humor side. I got an email last night from James. He said, I got all the messages printed up. He said, I only made one correction or one addition. He said, when you said from the east, I put China. Is that okay? No, that's not okay. Every great nation in the ancient history had its men of many sciences. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia Empire, they all had a staff. Where our president has a kitchen staff, and they all had their staff. And Persia in the east, east of Judah. Therefore, we have translated in the King James, wise men. From Cicero, we learned that these men were reckoned a sort of wise men and doctors among the Persians. Cicero further observes that no man could be a king of the Persians before he understood the discipline and knowledge and wisdom of the Magi. They were ardent students of astrology, the stars, planets, religion, math, medicine, all the sciences. They were just, this is what they spent their life doing. And it's tough for us to get our kids to go to school and learn these things. These men devoted their life to studying these things. And so these are the learned men from the east. By the way, as I go through this, we're not spending time on every word. If I go through something and you have a question, raise your hand. This is family. Raise your hand. So no problem. Okay. Now, so these are the learned men from the east. And that is, at this point in time, Persia. And they arrived in Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem and why now? So we have three locations in this one verse. Bethlehem, Judea, and Jerusalem. Bethlehem, house of bread. Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Judea, praise Jehovah. Jerusalem. I love the name Jerusalem. If there was other, you know, sometimes people name their child a name because they have, you know, admiration, ambitions for them, and they never turn out. They never turn out. Well, Jerusalem means dwelling place of peace, foundation of peace. This city has never known peace. It has never known it. It will at the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ returns. And in through, if you tour Jerusalem, you'll see little signs throughout various places. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That means pray for the coming of the Messiah. Okay, now, so it is not known peace. And he came to bring peace to the earth. I hope you understand. That's not political peace. Not peace between nations. Not even peace between people. Because he says, I came to divide the family. I will divide mother and daughter, father and son. I'll divide them. Some will believe in me. Some will not believe in me. I came to divide. Not to unite. Not for unity. Don't you know I came for division? In division. So, in this sense, that peace is a peace between the believer and God. Most people don't care about that because most people are not aware they're not at peace with God as unbelievers. They can be by faith in Jesus Christ. All right, Matthew 2, verse 2. Where is he, this is the wise man now, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Hear this in Herod's ear. What? What do you mean? I'm king of the Jews. Okay. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. With all the anti-Semitism the Jews have experienced, here are some wise men who have come to worship their king. So we have the questions, the traditional questions. Who, what, where, how? Alright, what? Well, first of all, who? Who are the wise men? What is the star they're talking about? Where is he to be born? How do they know about these things about the Jews? How do they know about the birth of the king of the Jews? Why would they, wise men from Persia, come to worship the king of the Jews of Judah? Alright, as to who? Well, we studied the who. The wise men, we went through there, these are the wise men, the scholars from Persia. Now we're going to address how did the wise men know the Jewish Messiah has been born and about the star and all these things. Now I sent James just a little, I even lowered the font. I usually have 18 font. I think I went down to 16 or 14 font. And I said, I'm indebted to, and I gave these following names. So James went through and did some work for you. And I don't know how he found the pictures and all his details of everybody. I didn't do that. But I had their books. But the White Pentecost, 1915 to 2014, had Dwight Pentecost in seminary. Unbelievable man. Unbelievable man. His contributions will be long lived in the Christian realm. Hal Lindsey, born in 1929, he's still there. He gives the Lindsey Report. It comes at our station on Friday night, and it's just really good because everything he does in nearly every program deals with what's going on as it relates to prophecy in the Word of God. David Bay, born 1946, he's a young guy, director of the Cutting Edge Ministry. Alfred Erdesheim, unbelievable scholar, March of 1825 to 1889. David Bach, 1954, he's currently with Dallas Theological Seminary. Leon Morris, another unbelievable scholar, March 1914 to 2006. And Alfred Plummer, another great scholar. I didn't mind him putting all this information about him because every one of those men are worth your study as far as their books are concerned. And Alfred Plummer, Church of England, clergyman, Bible scholar, and he is an unbelievable Greek scholar. I still use his Greek text for things to look up. Okay, how did the wise men know about the birth of the Messiah? Did they have information that Israel did not have? That's very important. They've come over to worship the Messiah of Jerusalem, of the Jews in Judea. They don't know it. Did they have some information that the Jews didn't have? The answer to that is definitely not. The Jews had that and more information. They didn't even know what city. The Jews, well, let's look it up. Yeah, it's supposed to be here somewhere in Bethlehem. They had all this information. They didn't care. And people, as I go through this, we've been doing a lot of study in prophecy, and we're just seeing how so many things are going on today. You should not be in any shock at anything going on. You of all people, it says he will come like a thief in the night. Not to us. Not to us. He comes like a thief in the night to those who are not prepared. But to the believer who knows he's coming. Knows that the rapture is coming. Knows that these things are there. We have a timetable. And I'll show you these things as we go through. In fact, our study of Matthew 24:25, we just recently studied. And what we've got here is Matthew 23:37 and following. This is Jesus Christ. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Negative volition. They did not want a Messiah. They wanted the ritual, but they didn't want the reality. Just like many people today. Verse 38, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, they're going to quote some of that at the triumphant entry, but they don't give this. Before Christ can come back at the end of the tribulation, this the Jews will be uttering who know the Scriptures. And they will know the Scriptures. We're studying now on Wednesday night how they learned all these things. And the passage at the same period, Luke 19:44. All right? And they, Rome in 70 A.D., will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave you one stone upon another. This will be true especially of the temple. The cry, verse 40, but Jesus answered, I tell you, if these things become silent, if these stones become silent, the people, the stones will cry out. This is a figure of speech. These stones are no longer a temple, but simply being rubbish left on the ground will be a witness against them. This is your temple. It's now rubbish. Why is it rubbish? You rejected your Messiah. Look at verse 40. Why are these things going to happen? Because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. See that word because? That's very important. And you did not recognize. They should have. Here are some men from way over in Persia, not Jews. They're believers, and I'll show you that. They're believers, but they're Persians. And they knew he was coming. They knew he was going to be born. They probably left Persia about the time of his birth. But to travel over there, he had already been born. So, just they should have known. But he said, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. You didn't recognize what you had while you had it. People, you got to recognize freedom in this country before it's taken away. You got to recognize the value of your home, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. You got to recognize the value of an assembly that you can go and learn the Word of God. You got to recognize these things. Otherwise, they're taken away from you. All right. Correctly understanding this causal phrase, because you did not, is the key to understanding how the wise men knew about the birth of the Messiah. The wise men from the east are a witness against the Jews of Jerusalem. They are that there are these wise men, ever how many, are there in Jerusalem looking for the Messiah, and the Jews don't even care, and they're not looking at all. It's a witness against them. Why are they looking and we're not? How can that be, Dad? How can these wise people, they're foreigners, they're not even Jews, why are they looking for our king and we're not? It's a witness against them. If wise men from the east knew about this birth, surely Jewish wise men in Jerusalem should have known, but they were not very wise. How did the wise men from the east know about the birth of the Messiah? And the Jews should have known for the same reasons as the wise men from the east. They both should have known because the timing of the Messiah has been recorded in the book of Daniel. These were wise men in the cabinet of Nebuchadnezzar, not these particular ones, but men who was going to pass this down from one staff to the next staff to the next staff. As they got older, they would say, now look, Daniel, a prophet, an unbelievable man who saved our lives, by the way, told us about the coming of the birth of the King of the Jews, who is the Savior of the world. Watch for that star. Okay, some did, some didn't. I'll tell you that right now. Some of these on this staff, astrologers and all, didn't pay any attention. But there'd be one or two, each succeeding generation, always looking, passing this word down, just like we do. We pass the gospel down. People, you don't pass, as a really an incorrect phrase, you don't pass the gospel down. See, we pass down math. We pass down math. 2 and 2 was 4 to my great-grandparents. 2 and 2 will be 4 to my after me, which is, that's a fact. But the gospel, each generation has to make up their own mind. Do you believe in Jesus the Christ? Do you believe in Him? It's got to be each generation. You don't get to pass that down. You get to hand them the gospel, but as far as it becoming fact to them, you pass it down. Just here it is. But each generation has to make up their own mind. You can pass down mathematical facts, but you can't pass down the gospel. It's up to each generation. You're not saved because your parents were saved. You're not saved because your grandparents were saved. You're saved because you make a decision about Jesus Christ. So it's passed down through Daniel. These wise men were well learned, studied in the writings of Daniel, and they also studied the gospel pamphlet written by Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4. Remember that pamphlet? Remember how he was taken down like an animal? And he came out of that, and he wrote a pamphlet how he came to believe in this coming Messiah of the Jews. This was a pamphlet, a decree he passed out to the kingdom. And they knew that. That was passed along. So these wise men in the Persian court studied this pamphlet because they were students of astrology, math, and religion. Therefore, they would be most interested in what Nebuchadnezzar had to say. And James has put in here Daniel 4:34. But at the end of that period, when he was taken to the ground as an animal, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praise and honor Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from one generation to another. That's very important. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? This is Babylon, my greatness. No, it's going to be over when you're dead. This one goes on forever and ever and ever. Verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what have you done? At that time, by the way, just on that, what people say, I think it's one of the pleasures of human beings to judge God. Why did God do that? Well, if I were God, I wouldn't have done that. If I were God, I wouldn't let people die. If I were God, I wouldn't have done. If I were God, I wouldn't let a baby die. No, you're not God. You don't have His wisdom. You don't understand Satan controls the world. There's so much going on. But it's one of the great pleasures of man, first of all, to judge God, to judge their husbands, that was supposed to be funny, to judge one another. We love to do that. And a few people love to judge themselves to the point of injury. Thank you very much. To the point of injury. But here, this is what we like to do. We like to judge God. Verse 36. At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me, for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors, my nobles, seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. This is what God gave to him. By the way, my kingdom, my counselors, my nobles, that includes the wise men. Verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Now, if you're a wise man and a scholar, wow. And then you get more information that he's coming to earth. You get more information about his star. Wow, we got to watch for this. This is unbelievable stuff. We're Persians. But this is King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a powerful king of Babylon. And what he did and what he said is important. So these are wise men. See, wise people learn from the past. Learn from history. It's the foolish who learn nothing from history. It's the foolishness of a child who doesn't learn from the parent. We don't learn from history. But these are men who are wise. And why are they wise? They learn from history. Now you combine that with the exact timing of the birth of the Messiah, actually written down by Daniel. That is correct. Daniel actually wrote down the timing of the coming of the Messiah. Daniel prophesied the timing of the very first Christmas. Matthew 2, 3 through 16. When Herod the king, now we're just reading this through where we're going to be next week. When Herod the king heard this, that they were looking where the king of the Jews had been born, he was troubled. I mean, he was upset. What do you mean, I'm king? And all Jerusalem with him. They were upset. They're troubled and upset that their king is being born. Their Messiah king is being born. They should have been rejoicing like the wise men. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. See, those are his wise people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they know. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. But we're not looking for him. We don't really care about this. But anyway, that's what the scripture says. We know the scripture. For this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time that star appeared. And he sent to Jerusalem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And he's talking to the Magi. When you found him, oh, come back and report to me so that I too may come and worship him. He lies. And we're not unfamiliar with lying leaders. And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them. See, they lost it. Now they're out and it's back out again. We'll study this. Which they had seen in the east went out before them, until it came and stood over the place where Christ was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, not the little manger scene. This is not that, people. It's approximately 2 years later. They saw the star way back over there in Persia, and they've been traveling. Jesus has moved from that little place in Bethlehem. He's now in the house. They saw the child with Mary. And we're going to study next week. I could, you know, you walk out, I wonder if that star is over my house, or is that star over Hollywood? I wonder where that star... We can't tell. What do you mean a star over the house? How's that going to tell you anything? Well, we're going to look at the supernaturalness of this star that being right down to where it needed to be. So we'll see these things. They fell on the ground, and they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, king and death, as these three gifts, and we'll look at that. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Do you realize what has just been said? These Gentiles believe the word of God. God said, don't go back and tell Herod. They heard it and they listened. They knew. Okay, let's don't go back. Christians don't even believe in the power of the Holy Spirit like this. God came to them and told them in a dream, warned by God, don't go back. Hey, don't go back. Yeah, I had the same thing too. Let's don't go back. Well, me too. See? They didn't go back. They believed the word of God. The flight to Egypt. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Well, now we expect Joseph to believe. He's been through a whole lot. Joseph's had these things going on for quite some time. He was married to this beautiful little girl, probably about 15, engaged to her, and she comes back from visiting Elizabeth and says, I'm pregnant. You're what? See? What do you mean you're pregnant? I'm pregnant. And so he was troubled. And you can imagine. So he goes off. God comes to him and says, look, you just deal with her. You marry her. That child is of me, the Holy Spirit. And it's supernatural. And it's all fine. And you will name him Jesus. Okay. So, verse 13. And when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Israel. Or excuse me, to Egypt. Flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph believes it. He's going to get up in the middle of the night. Pack up. We're on our way. And I love Mary. She didn't argue. Okay, hon. She just said, okay. And they got and they took off to Egypt. Hey, I love this. This is really good stuff. There's so much we could do with verse 13, but we'll let it go, ladies. We'll just I think I've said enough to get me in trouble, and so but it's just one of those beautiful things. She listened. He said, "We got to go." And one of the interesting questions is, how did they go to Egypt? Did they go? Did they go by camel? Did Mary ride on a donkey and Joseph walk beside her? Did they take a VW? How did they get there? We don't know. You know that? It doesn't say she rode on a donkey and Joseph walked beside her. We don't know how they got down there. I would imagine he made some kind of a little cart with a little trailer. She's pregnant, or she's with a child, not pregnant now, but with child. And they went to Egypt. Okay. Verse 14. So Joseph got up, took the child and the child's mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. People, when God says, get up and do something, you get up and do it. Yes, sir, right now. No questions. Right now. I'm gone. We're out of here. And he left. Verse 15, he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet out of Egypt. I have called my son. He is out of Bethlehem, he's out of Egypt, and he's out of Nazareth. So out of all three of these places. It's a game God's playing with Satan. Where is he from? And each one of these places denote a different aspect. Verse 16. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and sent and slew all the male children who were born in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under. So probably the star was 2 years ago. So Jesus is maybe a year, year and a half, maybe two, but at least a year. And since they saw it and they followed the star to Jerusalem and all these things. So it's been 2 years. So he killed all the male children. This is Satan's way of doing things, people. He reaches. It's just like when man murders somebody. We've reached our wit's end. I'm through. I've got to get rid of this person. I'm going to murder him. I don't think about it. I don't think about how I'm going to get rid of the body. I'm just going to kill them. Get rid of them. They're in my way. That's the way Satan is. He reaches his wits end, and he starts into mass murder. He did this when Moses was born. He does it when Christ is born. He just loses it. You can tell when he's losing it. And that's why in the tribulation, he'll have all these armies come against Jerusalem. He's got to get rid of these Jews. He's got to get rid of the Jews. If he can get rid of all the Jews, he failed when Hitler tried. So if he can get rid of all these Jews, then God can't keep his promise to Israel. God can't keep his promise and have the throne of David sat on by Jesus Christ. That's his objective. Stop God from keeping his word. And men, wise men, still seek him. So next Sunday, we're going to take a look at how they knew specifically from the book of Daniel and about that star. So we'll finish this next Sunday morning. And next Sunday, we're going to see how they knew exactly when this time frame was and why the Jews should have known, or they could have known. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this season that we're in. It's not about presents given to one another. We receive a gift, we give a gift, because our Savior was born. We don't earn or deserve anything. We'll not be disappointed by any gift because we don't earn or deserve it. We are receiving and giving because Jesus Christ was born. And Father, we pray that there will be those who this season will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, one more thing. I'd like you to take your Bibles, and I'd like you to find the book of Zephaniah. That's right, there's a book in the Bible, and it's called Zephaniah. It's one of the minor prophets. I'd like you to look in Zephaniah and chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. It's close to Haggai and Malachi and Amos and Daniel, Amos. You go down and you come to Zephaniah chapter 2. And I just want to read with you one verse. Seek the Lord, all you humble. See, people, if you got a word for salvation, you're not humble. An humble person says, I can't do anything. You're going to have to just give me my salvation. And I believe in you and I trust you. Who have carried out his justice? The word should be justice. Seek 2:3. Zephaniah chapter 2 verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you humble, by faith, of the earth, who have, not just Jews, but all over the world, who have carried out his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the days of the Lord's anger. Now, I encourage you over the next week, I know it's going to be a busy time, it's Christmas, but you might have some time you just need to get away. Take your Bible and read just 3 chapters, Zephaniah. Read it a couple of times. And then next Sunday morning at 9:15, Kit is going to start teaching the book of Zephaniah. And I want to tell you something. I've seen the copies, some of the handouts. He's got handouts galore. You'll be able to follow and learn about Zephaniah. What his name means, I started to tell you. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Let Kit tell you what his name is, what his name means, what this book is about. It's a powerful book. Since we've been in Daniel, and now we're in Matthew 24:25, I definitely encourage you, get up a little earlier next Sunday morning, come to the 9:15, and hear Kit. He has been spending, how many years you been on Zephaniah? And it's going to be solid. I've seen some of the handouts for chapter 1, and I encourage you, you will not be sorry you came to listen and understand and think your way through this book. But I encourage you to read through it so that when he flows all the way through, that's what that means. Okay, you're dismissed. Merry Christmas to all of you.